It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Offman Show. We're on the Team 980 at our final 45 minutes before we give way to Capitals and Blackhawks here on the Team 980. Don't forget, Sunday against the Islanders is here on the Team 980 as well. We are the beneficiaries of the national season starting and crossing over. And although the Caps usually live over on 106.7 The Fan, the Great 8 chase is going to be very much alive here on the Team 980. All right, coin flip went ladies first, and so we are going to talk about the NCAA women's tournament here for about 10, 12 minutes, and then we'll get to the men's tournament coming up in just a little bit as well before we give way to John Walton and company at 6:45. But tonight, Anthony, South Carolina hosting that – or not hosting, but favorite in that first game. It is another rematch for them against Texas. Man, this is going to be fun. The matchups earlier this year were definitely interesting. Texas only lost three games all year. They're 35-3. South Carolina, they've only lost three games all year. They're 34-3. And South Carolina won when they last faced off and beat them pretty good. 19-point win in the final of the SEC tournament, 64-45. That said, South Carolina has looked a little shaky in the NCAA tournament. Like, they've won, but 64-53 against IU, of course, that four-point game where Maryland had them on the ropes for much of it, and then they beat Duke just 54-50 in the regional final to get here. Meanwhile, Texas, they've been a little shaky as well. 65-48, they beat Illinois in the round of 32. Tennessee, SEC showdown, 67-59 in the regional semis, a.k.a. the Elite Eight. Or sorry, the Sweet 16, and then the regional final, they beat Haley Van Lith and TCU 58-47. This feels like it's going to be a defensive slog of a game, and that's just kind of how these two teams play. And I don't know, it's going to be most aesthetically pleasing basketball, but it should be. If you like a knockdown, drag-out fight, this is the matchup for you.
Yeah, I definitely expect this to be like a backyard brawl.
Over under, by the way, 124.5. So your total's 124.5. That's what, like a 63-62
kind of game.
It's kind of game. I guess Gamecocks 4.5, so 68, something, you know, 62 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I would definitely take the under in this game. I mean, do you have a favorite so far?
I mean, I think South Carolina is the better team. Like, okay, they're better, they're deeper. I think the best individual on the floor might be Maddie Booker from Texas.
Yeah.
she's got range. She can handle. She can create off the bounce. Like, she's nasty. The other thing is Texas's size is crazy. They are so big.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, South Carolina's got, like, 11 or 12 McDonald's All-Americans. Like, they're crazy good. Tina Paupau is great. Is probably going to be the highest drafted player on the floor in this upcoming draft. Shooter from South Carolina. Like, the fact that Malaysia Fulwiley, who was the top recruit in the country, I do believe, 2 years ago, the sophomore, is coming off the bench for Carolina. She starts on literally every other team in America. Literally every other team. She's sick. And she's coming off the bench. I just think that depth is too much, especially this late in the season. The freshness, the options Dawn Staley has. If Texas figures something out, well, she can just throw a different look at you. And that's kind of the beauty of how Dawn's built that roster, as opposed to some of her rosters in the past where Aaliyah Boston or Asia Wilson, have been kind of the star centers of the show.
Yeah, and it's funny you talk about the depth of the team just because they have so many players that can, you know, deliver and lead for South Carolina. Last game you had Chloe Kitts. The game before that you had Fulwiley, who went out and scored 23. So their depth does definitely pose a threat to, you know, Texas. But Texas is gritty, man. And I think if Madison Booker actually doesn't wait to get going, because literally like the last two games she struggled to get going offensively. But when she has gotten going, especially against TCU, their last game, like, that's where, you know, Texas was able to make their run. Granted, they're going to get their stops, but as long as she's scoring and, you know, with consistency, I think it could definitely be a good game. But I think it starts with Madison Booker getting off to a quick start and not, you know, allowing this game to, you know, drag along and keeping it close. Because in a close game, I think South Carolina is going to be able to pull away.
I mean, it's so hard because, like, you don't want to get in a track meet with South Carolina because their athleticism is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so good defensively. I don't know that you want to be, like, if you're just constantly going against their set defense, like, you're probably not going to play very well either. I mean, they held Duke. I mean, this game was ugly. This was a bad basketball game in a
Duke
lot of ways.
Duke plays defense too, though. So, like, that's
right.
What I
that's
think.
What I'm, yeah.
Gonna, yeah.
I mean, South Carolina won that game without scoring 20 points in a single quarter. They held Duke to 8 in the fourth. They won the first 16-10. They lost the second quarter 12-10. Mm-hmm. Then barn burner of a third, 20-12, and then 16-8 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And that's how South Carolina was able to win the game. They overcame a 4-point deficit going into the fourth by holding Duke to 8 points in the fourth quarter. They won that game, Anthony, shooting 8 threes. What year is this?
1962.
They didn't even have the 3-point line.
Yeah, they did.
Like, That's what that game felt like. And so it's going to be interesting to see stylistically, how this goes down. The other game is going to have some points.
Yes.
Other game is, I believe we call this, slightly different. The total is 134.5. Give me the over on that one. Lauren Betts in UCLA, Kiki Rice, UCLA, of course, DC's very own, taking on Paige Beckers and UConn. And ESPN's matchup predictor has this 71% UConn winning. And, you know, we just said the highest scoring quarter in that Duke-South Carolina game was Duke's 20. Paige had 19 by herself in the fourth quarter of their Elite Eight win over the University of Southern California. This UConn team is nasty. This UCLA team is really, really good, though. And I think it comes down to, you know, we said this, Kiki Iriafin versus Sarah Strong, and Sarah Strong was unbelievable in the first half against Southern California. And Lauren Betts, Sarah Strong, like, that might be the matchup here. If Strong can pull Betts away from the basket, open things up for her teammates in terms of driving lanes, all that kind of stuff, not to mention if she can do a job on Betts and make UCLA struggle offensively, I think that's going to be real, real interesting. Plus, I do wonder if we get the Paige versus Kiki one-on-one matchup. Like, I think that they might stick Paige on Kiki and try to be disruptive at the point of attack. Obviously, UConn's got other options, including AZ Fudd, who's terrific defensively and is, you know, just playing better and better on that end of the floor. She gets healthier and healthier and kind of sharper and sharper as the season goes. This matchup, man, I'm sad that it starts at 9:30 at night because I don't want to wait for it. I wish this was the first game selfishly because I'm just so jacked up for this game. And you don't have to make any jokes about how early I go to bed here.
Yeah, hey, look, I was about to, but I'm not even going to do that. Nah, this game is definitely going to be exciting to watch just because, again, it's offensive base. It's going to be a lot of points, and that's what a lot of people, I think, you know, like to see. They like to see the ball going to the basket. Now, like, in terms of – so I'm not going to lie, Craig, UConn is definitely the team that I had winning it all. But Lauren Same. Betts does scare me just because she is 6'7". She is very skillful. She has good footwork, and she's strong, man. Sarah Strong is only 6'2". So yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see how UConn goes about, you know, defending her, who they're going to throw on. They could throw the freshman on her. But, again, like, Lauren Betts is a junior. She's been here before. Defending her is really, like, all I'm, like, focused on. I think outside of, like, her, like, Kiki's definitely going to be able to get off. Lolo Jones is going to be able to contribute as well. But I think if when it comes down to UConn and how they want to win, if you can, you know, limit her, get her into some foul trouble, as you said, you know, maybe have Sarah Strong, you know, pull her away from the basket, and that'd be a matchup nightmare for her. I think UConn have the chance. But I think it's going to go back and forth down to the wire, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. It really is going to, to me, come down to Betts, or if, like, Kiki can have a night where she goes a little crazy. But, like, Paige is on a heater right now, bro. Like, she only played 22 minutes against Arkansas State in that first round game. But in the three games since then, she's 34, 40, and 31. Her three-point shooting, 60%, 75%, 50%. Like, she's a menace.
Yeah.
four steals. Last game, she also had six assists, like two blocks in each of the last two games. Dog, she is – it's interesting because UConn's history is so littered with championships that Paige currently kind of occupies a unique space. All of the UConn greats, all of them have championships. Fee, mm-hmm. Stewie,
yep.
Maya, Taurasi, Bird, Lobo, anybody else you want to add to that list in between. They've all, except for the players that have come in, it's been 10 years since they've won one. Like, Nafisa was on the last championship team, and she was young. That was, I think, Stewie's senior year. So Fee, I guess, didn't really win one as the best player on her own. Obviously, the COVID years kind of get messed up in between then, and that UConn team where Paige was on a freshman on a team. Like, that UConn team was really, really good.
Yeah.
In many ways, that felt like Sabrina Ionescu's championship to lose, but absolutely, Paige would have been in contention with that UConn team there. But, like, she's in kind of a unique spot, you know, and how much does a championship mean to her legacy? I don't think she needs it. Like, to get on the Mount Rushmore at UConn, you need one. But that's how good the Mount Rushmore is.
Yeah.
But is she still a top 6-7 player all time that Geno's ever had?
No question.
Yeah. And she's doing things in the NCAA tournament that no one ever has at that program. And that is kind of all that needs to be said about how great she is as a college player. No one, I don't think, has ever scored back-to-back 30-point games in the NCAA tournament. She's got three of them in a row. And I certainly think she could finish out with two more and just run the table here in the NCAA tournament, which would be incredible to watch. So that game's tonight, 9:30. First game starts at 7. So you can check those out on, I think it's, they're both on ESPN. In terms of the tips, championship game against Sunday, 3:00, because the NCAA is stupid and doesn't want to make money by putting them in prime time.
Yeah.
Morons.
Not smart.
Morons. All right. When we get back, men's tournament tonight, Cooper Flagg and Duke leading the headlines. But first, the rest of the world in women's sports and the rest of what's going on there. It's presented to you by Wawa, chicken how you wanna at Wawa, with customizable, crispy, and roasted chicken sandwiches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. We're presented to you by the DC Defenders. Spring football is in full bloom. The DC Defenders take on the Memphis Showboats in the Blossom Bowl at Audi Field this Saturday, April 5th. It's Cherry Blossom Celebration. Get your tickets now at UFLDefenders.com/tickets. That's UFLDefenders.com/tickets. Tonight, the men will watch the ladies get ready, and then tomorrow it is go time for the final four on the men's side of the bracket. These games should be real good. You got all four number one seeds, Anthony. And just real quick, how you doing in your bracket?
In terms of I have three of the four teams in the final four. So I'm doing okay, I would say.
Were you in any like big pools?
I was only in one pool, and that was just with my friend group, to be honest.
And did you have any chance of winning said pool?
I'm checking right now, and I currently have the best percentage.
So that's a yes.
I think I'm going to win because I have two brackets. One bracket I have Duke winning. One bracket I have Florida winning. So hopefully one of them makes it to the championship, or if both make it, then I win regardless.
So I went with the straight chalk 4-1 seeds. And
I was smart.
If Duke wins this national title, bro, I'm winning an enormous pool. Like, I don't know how many people are in it, but it's like, I think a couple hundred people. Actually, I can tell you how many people are in it. How many people are in this pool? 223 brackets are in this pool, and I will win it. I have no idea funding-wise what that is going to mean, but I do think it's quite good. Thank you, Kevin Brown. I also pulled one of the biggest idiot moves that I have ever pulled in a fantasy sport, because are counting this as fantasy sports, right? So we do an eliminator pool every year, also very large. And I played it perfectly. I got to the Final Four weekend with the intention of, okay, I'm going to pick the winner opposite Duke, had him available to pick, because obviously once you pick a team, you can't pick him again. Pick Houston. All right, sweet, done. Now just leave Duke for the title game, and I'm going to make it all the way. And if someone else does the same exact thing and ties me, they tie me, but I'm good. Well, last Saturday night, I made my pick for Sunday, set it, forget it. Forgot to check, double check the bracket, and picked Houston to win, and didn't realize, or sorry, I was picking between Houston and Auburn. And in my head, oh, those two teams will match up opposite each other next weekend, and then I'll pick Duke over Florida, and then I'll pick Auburn, Houston, or I'm going to pick Houston over Auburn, then Duke over Houston in the title game.
Yeah.
The problem is Auburn and Florida play each other. So I messed that up, even though I had all the right teams available.
That's actually hilarious.
I just totally screwed myself in this gigantic pool. I'm going to, if Duke wins over Houston, I'm going to make it to the title game and have no one left to pick.
Ah.
And I'm going to lose the pool based off that.
That would hurt.
Like an absolute jackass.
So the team you have, you want to win then, or you hope to win, it's Houston, right?
No, I want Duke. I pick Duke to beat Houston because I think that's what's going to happen. And then if all of a sudden I get really lucky in the title game, where I think there's people that will probably then have Duke available to pick and Florida or whoever available to pick. And so either way, someone will win the pool, but that's not me. I'm not going to wind up tied. But because there's too many people remaining, that's the downside of so many favorites getting this far.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really messed it up. But I'm undoubtedly rooting for Duke to win it all because I want to win the other pool.
Mm.
So at least my rooting interests are re-solidified. Like, do I want to go out with being right and screwing myself over, or do I want to go out being okay? Well, hey, I wasn't going to get it right anyway. No. I need Duke to win because I want to win the other bracket pool.
Yeah. And I got
not conflicted.
And I got to let you know. So I was number one in my women's bracket, and I was number two in the men's bracket. I was looking at it wrong.
I can't
win the men's bracket. I can't.
Real quick, I am the women's bracket did not go great for me. I'm sixth in the. I got 20. I'm in a 22 person deal, and I'm somehow sitting 16th.
Ah, dang, that's brutal.
Yeah. Most of the people ahead of me picked UCLA or South Carolina. So I still have a chance to rock it up a little bit, but
yeah.
Dang, that's a bad Notre Dame killed me. That's the one that hurt.
I feel you on that one.
But I listened to Kevin Brown on this show. All right, quickly, now that we've talked about ourselves, let's talk about the games. Florida Auburn, mad interesting. Jahdae Broome is good to go with the elbow injury. He says he's 100%. We know how dangerous this Florida team is. We know how tough they are. Yep. The way they were able to rally late in their Elite Eight game. The way Walter Clayton just was like, we're not dying.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, but this Auburn team is so experienced. Frankly, I don't say this meanly. They're so old. Like their starting lineup. We talked about this yesterday. Is older on average than the Wizards' starting lineup. As well as there was one other team in the NBA as well. I can't remember who it was, but their starting lineup is legitimately older than some NBA teams. So this is a very, very, very experienced group. Bruce Pearl's a very, very, very good coach, but this Florida team is also very experienced. Like Clayton's got a ton of experience. They're bigs. They got some guys that are really experienced. So I don't have a strong lean in this game one way or the other. I think this game is going to be an absolute barn burner. And by the way, these two teams played each other in SEC all year, so they're super familiar with each other.
Yeah, they definitely are. And to be honest, Craig, I thought Florida was going to be able to, you know, have the edge when it came to like rebounds, offensive rebounds in particular. But Auburn actually out-rebounded them on the offensive side of the glass last time they played. Granted, you know, Florida ended up, you know, winning the game. But I was thinking that was going to be the difference maker in the game. To be honest, it's tough. But I'm going to go with the Florida Gators because, honestly, Walter Clayton, when the games are close, He's the guy that bails them out every single time. And this guy, he just makes clutch shot after clutch shot after clutch shot. And Jannai Brum is good, but I think Florida, they're going to tame him a little bit.
Yeah, I tend to slightly lean that direction. The other game is so interesting to me. Like, Houston gets after you.
They do. Some dogs.
And for the most part, that's going to work. The problem is, what happens when you try to press the hell out of talent like Duke? Like, is Duke skilled enough, big enough, fast enough, smart enough to just wreck this press? I mean, they held Tennessee to 50, bro. They held Purdue to 60.
Yeah.
Like, what happens when it's, hey, all right, we're going to press. Okay, Cooper Flagg's like, I'm going to look right over you, throw it to another dude who's going to can shoot from 30 feet, who then can lob it to another top five pick. Like, they got like three top 10 picks and six NBA draft picks this year on the roster. There's a reason teams don't press in the NBA, because it doesn't work. They're too skilled. And so I think stylistically this becomes really fun to see if this young but supremely talented Duke team can handle the type of intensity and pressure and fitness and all of that. You know, we told you yesterday about the mile times on the Houston team. This team is ridiculously fit, and they can play at a very high intensity for all 40 minutes. But, like, it's almost, you know, you just grab something too hard and it slips through your fingers. Like, I'm a little afraid for Houston. That could be how this goes for Duke. And it might not be that way for 40 minutes, but if they have like two big bursts, one each half, is that enough that they can pull away?
Yeah, I think, as you just alluded to, you know, it's the styles make fights kind of matchup. And Duke literally has five skill players. Everybody on the Duke starting five can dribble, even the guys that are coming off the bench. So I just think when it comes to, like, handling that pressure, granted, I think Houston's going to, you know, get some steals just because all season they have been able to, you know, force some of the best teams to turn it over. But I think John Shire and Cooper Flagg and Tyrese Proctor, I think they're going to settle the guys down and be able to, you know, allow them themselves to, you know, be able to break Houston's press. Also, I think when it comes to Houston's offense, they got to hit some shots. They rebound at a very high rate, and Duke, again, is just so good at, you know, defensive rebounding and then using that to, you know, get out into transition. So it's going to be an interesting matchup.
That's the other thing too, right, is if they can make shots – if Duke can force Houston to miss and then get out in transition, they don't have to deal with the press.
Yeah, as long as they rebound. They got to rebound because Houston is really, really good at rebounding their own misses.
Watch Flagg have like 30 and 15.
Man, it's going to be
He's
30
so
and 15
good.
Will be
He's
crazy.
So good, bro. So we'll see. That game is the late game, 8:50 tip roughly on Saturday night. And then we'll talk about the championship game on Monday ahead of it, which you'll hear here on the Team 980. We get back, we wrap up the show with Real Things Real People Said into real microphones. Wrapping up here on a Friday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980. Always live as well on the free, he said, Odyssey app. This weekend, don't forget Caps Hockey Sunday. Can Ovi get the record if he doesn't get it tonight? In a way, I hope not. Hope they win. Stack some more wins here. Seal up that one seed. But I kind of hope he breaks this thing at home. But first chance tonight, again, Caps, John Walton and company getting going about 10 minutes from right now as, Ovi is a hat trick shy of Wayne Gretzky's record. Day to talk about all-time greats, Anthony. Did you see the news that just came through NFL, adjacent?
I did not.
Julio Jones officially retires.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which, not surprised. I think he last played for the Eagles 2 years ago, but obviously most of his career with the Falcons. Like, he is both a surefire Hall of Famer, and I kind of think he's a what-if guy. Like, he was such a preposterous athlete. I mean, going back to the NFL combine, now dudes don't run for if they wake up and didn't like the way their breakfast tasted, they won't run the 40 if they're top guys. Travis Hunter didn't run today at Colorado's Pro Day. He's just like, what am I going to do?
Nothing.
Why would he? Like, he's like, I played 90 snaps a game for 3 years. Go watch the tape. I get it. Like, what's he going to do? Help his draft stock? Like, I selfishly wish he would have run, because I want to know what his 40 time is, because I want to be able to compare him not only to other guys that have been in the past, but I want to be able to compare him in the future to other guys and kind of have an understanding of like what his play speed is, or kind of compare the tape and what you see there to the 40 time and the stopwatch. And like, it's fun. Like, by the way, oh, that's what we missed in the weekend preview. Grand Slam track previews or debuts this weekend. The new pro track league with the best track stars in the world. That's going to be crazy fun. I believe they start running tonight. The first event is in Kingston, Jamaica. But I'm definitely excited for that. They're going to Philly in a couple of weeks. I might got to go up. We might, Anthony, you want to go on a field trip to Philadelphia? Go watch some fast people run in circles?
When are you trying to go?
When the event is?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Philly's my second home. I'll take you to get some good food.
You're going to tell me where good food is in Philly, considering who my wife is and where she's from?
Well, yeah, that too.
We've taught you about so much food, Anthony.
What? You guys have. Hey,
go ahead.
You definitely have.
No. Now I'm intrigued. Where are you taking us in Philadelphia? What spot do we need to know about in Philly?
Green Eggs.
What you know about Middle Chai? What you know about Zahav? What you know about Goldie's? What you know about
Petri?
See,
you got too many spots, Craig. I only have one spot that I always go to when I go there.
All right,
Green Eggs, breakfast spot.
Okay, I will ask Rachel if she's familiar.
Okay.
Middle Child, we gotta get you to Middle Child for breakfast.
Say no more.
Yo, that sandwich is crazy. Crazy. Anyway, what were we talking? Oh, yeah, Grand Slam tracks this weekend. What were we talking about? Oh, Julio Jones. That's what we were talking about. This dude ran a 4.3 on a broken foot.
Whoa, I didn't know he had a broken foot. Good
gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a broken foot. And it was like, oh, yeah, he ran a 4.3. What? Yeah. That's who Julio Jones is. Just one of the craziest athletes, incredible receiver. He was more than just a freak athlete. Like, he got the but he just couldn't stay completely healthy, it felt like. Obviously, the peak of his power is that Super Bowl run under DQ back in 2015 with Matt Ryan winning the, or not 2015, what was that, 2016, when Matt Ryan won the MVP, Kyle Shanahan was the OC, DQ the head coach. They were just awesome. Julio Jones, surefire Hall of Famer, officially calling it quits today at the after 13 seasons in the NFL. Of course, you missed the news earlier as well. Elena Deladon calls it a career today. WNBA superstar, two-time MVP, 2019 champ with the Mystics, is going to take on a special advisor role with Monumental Basketball. So salute to those two greats as we get a little bit more sound from a great, talking about some other greats here to close out the show and real things real people said into real microphones. All right. Let's go with the LeBron sound first, Ant, because we got time, I think, for both of these. LeBron James, we talked about this game earlier in the show, last night after losing to the Warriors, is, I don't want to say scared, but certainly is like, oh, man, these guys again? This looks like a familiar version of this team.
Knowing, assuming that you've watched what the Warriors have looked like with Jimmy Butler since the trade, but having seen it now for the first time played against it, what did you sort of make of what they put together over there, knowing that that's a team you could see in 2 weeks pretty easily?
I mean, I've been a part of them making big acquisitions to change their dynamic of their team before. And I had to go against them when they added Kevin Durant. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler is great, and, you know, he adds a toughness to him. He adds a championship DNA type of guy. But it's always the same. They always figure it out. They always add somebody that makes it dynamic.
He's kind of got that, damn it, not this again.
I got the feel that, you know, Bron didn't really care. Like, all right, you have Jimmy, but I've seen this team when they've had Kevin Durant in his prime, like, Jimmy's good though. I think that's more so what he's saying.
Like them acquiring Kevin Durant probably cost him 2 championships. So
yeah.
I could see him being quite annoyed. We're talking about Julio Jones being just an absolute physical freak. There is perhaps no greater physical freak in NFL history, with all due respect to the all the dudes that could destroy the NFL combine, than Julius Peppers, which Saquon Barkley found out very early in his career, as he discussed on the YouTube series Hot Ones.
Going from college to the NFL, like, were there any moments that stand out in your memory?
I kicked a little bit at the end.
Yeah, okay. Right. I think it heard you talking a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. Julius Peppers, obviously unbelievable talent. my rookie year, we had a play. You know, I broke it outside and kind of got blown dead. I think it was a flag on it. And he had me, like, right here, like, had, like, by my shoulder pads. And, like, I'm like, he's trying me. So like, I went like this. Like, I tried to hit his arm down and didn't move. And I tried to hit it again and didn't move. And then I'm looking at him like, all right, bro, like, come on. Like, let me go. And then that's, like, when I realized that, like, there's a difference between, like, grown men strength and, like, being strong in the weight room. And, yeah, that was probably, like, my most humbling moment of my life, not just on the football field, but as a man, too.
Imagine, Anthony, you're Saquon Barkley. Everyone's talking about how strong, powerful, explosive you are coming out of Penn State. Oh, he cleans 405. He squats 600 pounds. You are the strongest man that you have ever seen. And you get to the NFL, and you try to it's a dead play. And another grown man just grabs you, and you become little brother who's screaming, "Let go, let go." And that's basically on the show, they show the clip, and you can see Saquon being like, "Get off. I said, get, man, let me go."
He was trying everything in his power to, like, get out of Julius Peppers' grasp, like karate chop, elbow chop, head butt. It didn't matter. Like, he wasn't breaking that grasp.
And Julius is probably just laughing. Julius has this big, deep voice. I just imagine. Just
insane.
Dude was like 6'7".
I would love
probably ran a 4.4. Maybe ran a 4.3 coming out. Did Julius Peppers run a 40? I don't think he ever did. Julius Pepper 40. It says 4.68. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for a second. But also he was 6'7", 295. So have that to think about this weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.